Welcome to Transforming Minds, Transforming Lives, a podcast series of RCCG Living Spring Pittsburgh. Stay tuned for our senior pastor, Boyega Esson.
The seven pieces of success. The Bible says in 3 John verse 2, said, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers." Verse 3, "For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, just as you walk in the truth." It's my prayer you prosper in all things, prosper in health, as your soul will also prosper in the mighty name of Jesus. The seven pieces of success. Success is achievement of goals. And you know, you can succeed maritally, you can succeed career-wise, succeed academically, succeed financially, succeed spiritually. And the Bible says God blessed Abraham in all things, in all things. So when you look at Abraham, his life was whole towards the end of his time. You know, that was, he was blessed in all things. And my prayer is that God will bless you in all things, that there will be no area of your life that will have a comma. Nothing missing, nothing broken. You'll be an old person, and the glory of God shall be seen upon your life. And because of God's glory upon your life, many people will testify, and they will follow you to Jesus, and they will follow you to the church of God in Jesus' mighty name. So the seven pieces of success, the first one is purpose. You want to be successful, then you must know God's purpose for your life. And when you follow God's purpose and you fulfill it, that is being successful. And God has a plan, he has a will towards you. God has an agenda. And my prayer is that you will find out God's agenda for your life. And as you discover that agenda, you will develop it and then you deploy it in the mighty name of Jesus. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 1 verse 15, "But even before I was born, God chose me and called me by his marvelous grace, that he pleased him to reveal his son to me, so that I will proclaim the good news about Jesus Christ with the Gentiles. When this happened, I did not rush out to consult with any human being." In other words, Paul the apostle was saying here that before he was born, God had a plan. And the plan of God was that he would be an apostle to the Gentiles. And the Bible says categorically, so when that time came for him to manifest, he didn't consult with man. He didn't confer with flesh and blood. He just plunged in into God's plan. Somebody will discover God's plan and then plunge into that God's plan in the mighty name of Jesus. There's a purpose of God over your life. Before you were born, the Bible says God predestined us, for us to be conformed to the image of Christ. So those that he foreknew, he called. Those that he called, he justified, that he may glorify them. So there's a will of God. And when you find that will, 50% is done. You know, that's where you actually know what God has for you, what God has called you to become. Some people, God has called them to be treasurers. God has called some people to be part of the fivefold ministry, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor. God has called some people to be captains in the boardroom, and so on and so forth. But by all means, you will discover what God has called you to become in Jesus' mighty name. Because when you know why, God works out the how. When you know your purpose, purpose is knowing why. You know, there's a reason for something. Purpose is a reason for being. So when you know why, God works out the how. And when you know why, the how becomes easier. Somebody will know the why. And as you know the why, God will bless you for knowing the why in Jesus' mighty name. God wants you to better your life, wants you to better your lot. God wants you to create a future for yourself, a future that will be enviable. That's part of God's purpose for your life. Nothing happens by happenstance in God's kingdom. God has a plan, he has a will, and that plan of God for your life shall be established in Jesus' mighty name. Because you will know that plan and you will run with it in the mighty name of Jesus. The second P of success is process. In Isaiah chapter 48 verse 10, the Bible says, "I have refined you, but not as silver is refined. Rather, I have refined you in the furnace of suffering." Another version says, "I have refined you in the furnace of affliction." Brethren, it is true that nothing raw attracts real value. That's why you have crude oil in some countries. They don't refine those crude oil in their country. They export it, and that crude oil is refined, and is big money. You can refine crude oil to become PMS, to become kerosene, gasoline, natural gas, and so on and so forth. But crude oil in its raw form attracts little or no value. So that's why the issue of process is critical. If you don't submit yourself to God's process, you will not discover your destiny. As wonderful as gold is, for gold to attract that value, the raw gold attracts it to no value. But when it's refined, then it becomes a gem. Joseph, if he didn't go through that refinement, when he became prime minister in Egypt, his brothers would have been in trouble. Believe me sincerely. Because he came from the pit. From the pit, he went to Potiphar's house. He was processed a little bit there. Went to the prison before he went to the palace. Because Joseph was a daddy's boy. He was spoiled. When he was in daddy's house, it was a totally different ballgame. If Joseph had moved from the pit straight to the palace, he would have dealt with his brothers. He would not have forgiven them that easily. He would not have brought his whole family to Egypt. But God took Joseph through a process. He refined him, and Joseph became a gem. He told his brothers that what you meant for evil, God has turned it for my good. And that is God's modus operandi. It doesn't matter what you are going through. What the enemy meant for evil, God turns around for your good. So the Joseph that was sold into the pit was not the same Joseph who actually stood before Pharaoh. Some things happened. There was a refinement. There was a process. But if you fail to submit yourself to God's process, you will shortchange yourself because you have a will. If you say, no, I'm not going this way, I want to do it my own way, God leaves you alone. But that true you will never emerge. They tell us that if you crack an egg from outside, that chick will not survive. But if that same egg is cracked from within, that chick will survive and become a mother hen. It's a matter of time. So, brethren, process is real. What some of us are going through is process. It's part of the formula for success. You want to become a doctor, you have to go through a process. Whatever you want to become, you have to go through a process. And if you allow God to process you, a better you will emerge. It's not so much about what you attain in life. It's about the obstacles you overcome on your journey to attainment. Success is the best answer for a fool. Success is sweet revenge. Don't let all your enemies die. Let them see you emerge. Let them see you manifest, and they will bite their teeth. Process. Not so much about the attainment. Remember that. It's about the obstacles you overcome on your journey to attainment. Another P for success is perseverance. And this is big. I've told you about purpose. Told you about process. Perseverance. Perseverance. James chapter 5 and verse 11. James 5:11. The Bible says here that we give great honor to those who endure under suffering. For instance, you know about Job, a man of great endurance. You can see how the Lord was kind to him at the end. For the Lord is full of tenderness and mercy. He told us about Job. Job was able to bear up under pressure. His wife said to him, curse God and die. He was able to bear. He didn't misspeak under pressure. In other words, he handled pressure well, and the pressure was a big one. In one day, he lost everything he ever held there. But this man said, I would rather bless God than curse him. Check out his latter hand. Bible says in Job 42:10 that God restored to Job 2 times what he lost. The process was brutal for Job. But Job was able to hold on. Perseverance. You don't give up on life. You don't give up. Never give up. Never give up. They told us, Winston Churchill, that he was invited to a commencement speech. That was the former Prime Minister of UK. And he got there. He said, never give up, never give up. You know, we believed it for so many years. But in these days of social media, they said it never happened. Whether it happened or it never happened, but that's some lesson there. So Winston Churchill, who was the Prime Minister during the Second World War, if not for Churchill, Germany would have overrun the whole Europe. But this guy withstood against resistance, against pressure. Brethren, life is a little tough. And you must develop some steel spine at times, able to get things done. Holding on, despite all the hurts. Don't stop, don't relent. Just keep moving. The steps may be slow, but just keep moving. Even the snail, think about it, made it to Noah's Ark. The Noah's Ark had to wait for the snail to come. So, perseverance. The Bible says categorically, say, keep on asking. It will be given you. Say, keep on seeking. You will find. Say, keep on knocking on the door reverently. The door will be open. For everyone who keeps on asking, receives. For everyone who keeps on seeking, finds. For everyone who keeps on knocking on the door, will have the door open to them. Perseverance. Not giving up on life. Keep on keeping on. in prayers. School will be tough, brutal, but you hold up under pressure because it is the end you are looking at. I must get a good grade. That is the end. So whatever is going to happen doesn't matter. It is the end that justifies. And the end will justify you beautifully so in Jesus' mighty name. The Bible says so clearly that the just shall live by faith. So if any man draws back, my soul will not have pleasure in him. We are not of them that draw back to perdition. We are of them that keep on believing to the saving of the soul. Hebrews chapter 10 said, the just shall live by faith. If anyone draws back, I will have no pleasure in him. But in our said, look, we are not of them that draw back to perdition. We are of them that keep on believing to the saving of the soul. Believe me, is not over until God says it is over. My destiny is in God's hands. Your destiny is in God's hands. So I will keep on keeping on. I'll keep on holding the fort. I'll keep on fighting the good fight of faith because God is faithful. The Bible says we should consider the God of all glory. So after you have suffered a while, it will perfect you. It will establish you. It will strengthen you. It will settle you. That is God. Another P for success that is very critical is passion. Passion is zest for life. Passion is self-motivation. Passion is being encouraged from within. Passion is standing tall. Passion is not losing your enthusiasm. Passion is not losing courage. Passion is not allowing a season of discouragement become a lifetime of discouragement. Have you ever wondered that the one man in the Bible who fought practically more than everybody in the Old Testament never lost any battle? Have you ever wondered about King David? How? Number one, he put his faith in God, and this guy, he knew how to encourage himself in the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 30 verse 6. 1 Samuel chapter 30 was brutal. I mean, he went to a place where he had to find he was mad towards the Philistines. The Philistines were going to fight the Israelites, and he wanted to be part of the battle. So he got on the battle. He was there. The king of the Philistines believed him, trusted him. But the folks of the king of the Philistines said, look, this guy was the one that feared Goliath. This guy is not faithful. He would turn against us. So they had to drive him out to go back to Ziklag, where he was hanging out. He was a guerrilla warfare soldier. So he went back to Ziklag. Before he got to Ziklag, the Amalekites had come, plundered his family, took away their wives, took away their property, everything. It was a bad situation. And to now make matters worse, to now rub salt into the injury, his aides, his associates, his folks, his friends, his followers said, David is the cause of their problem. They wanted to stone him. And the Bible says David encouraged himself. He was at the lowest of the low. And this guy was able to gather his pieces. Think about it. That's part of what made David great. David never lost his passion. Never lost his enthusiasm. Even when he's down, he will rise up again. Micah chapter 7 verse 7 and 8. Don't rejoice over me, my enemy. Don't rejoice that even when I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light unto me. That's one scripture you want to hold there. Micah chapter 7, verses 7 to 8. He said, look, rejoice not over me, O my enemy, because even when I fall, I will rise again. Even when I sit in darkness, God will be a light unto me. I don't lose my passion. I never lose my passion. I never lose my courage. I never lose my hope. I never lose my faith. I'm not hopeless. No. If you're a child of God, you're not hopeless. If you have Jesus, you have it all. Amen. Because Jesus in us is the hope of glory. We have been made complete in him. The Bible says even the young guys will faint and they will become weary. And selected young men shall feebly stumble and fall exhausted. But those who wait for the Lord, those who expect, those who look for, those who hope in him shall change and renew their strength and power. They shall lift their wings and mount up close to God as eagles mount up to the sun. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint or become tired. Even young folks, they get tired, they faint, they become weary. But the Bible says, learn from the ego. Learn to exchange your weakness for God's strength. Learn to have a devotional life. Learn to tell God to help you when you are weak. His strength is perfected in your weakness. God fills up empty vessels. He doesn't fill up vessels who are full of themselves. If you are full of yourself, you can't reach God's grace. But when you empty yourself, when you say, Lord, I cannot do this. Please help me. Please enable me. Don't put me to shame. I trust you. I will not be ashamed. This is difficult. Lord, please help me. God will always attend to those who cry for help. That's why he receives the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. David was at his lowest ebb. He cried to God in the low of the low, And God said, you can pursue the enemy. He said, by all means, you overtake him and you run him out. And that's what happened. It's my prayer you will not fail. You will not faint. Bible says, if your strength fails on the day of adversity, that means your strength is small. You will not faint during examination day. Oh, no. Every day you'll be renewed. Your strength shall be renewed. Your vigor will be renewed. Your zeal shall be renewed. Your passion will be renewed. Your motivation for life will be renewed. Your motivation for success will be renewed. You will have new zest. You will be rejuvenated. You will be reignited. You will be revived. Oh, yes, you will carry on in the mighty name of Jesus. Another P for success is purity. And this is big. Let me just read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 3 and 5. It says, for this is the will of God, that you should be consecrated, separated, set apart for pure and holy living, that you should abstain and shrink from all sexual vice, that each of you should know how to possess, control, manage his own body in consecration, in purity, separated from things profane, and honor, not to be used in the passion of lust like the heathen, who are ignorant of the true God and have no knowledge of his will. You see, God is holy. If you're a Christian, your call is a holy call. Bible says God has called us to holiness. He hasn't called us to ungodliness. So the call is holy, is pure. And you know, God works with pure vessels because he's a pure God. The Bible says sexual immorality is something that we should all flee from. Say, young folks, flee fornication. Adultery, fornication doesn't respect age. It doesn't respect the cassock. It doesn't respect title. The only thing fornication respects is that you flee. That's it. It doesn't respect how many years you've been a Christian. So, because I want to honor God, I'm aware of my environment. I cleanse my environment. I watch over my thoughts. I don't allow some fantasies to take me over. When they come, I eject them. So, purity is very critical. We live in a sex-infested society. But the Bible says you have to know how to manage, how to control your sexual appetite. Anything outside of marriage is extramarital affairs. And God is not pleased. And you know, the brain is wonderful. Man is programmable. I'm sure you know that. Such that when you enjoy an activity, the brain registers it. From time to time, it gives you triggers along those lines. Oh, you like, go for it. And the more you go for those triggers, the more it registers that activity again in your mind. In other words, Bible says, don't allow sin to dominate your mind. It says rather, let the word of God dominate your mind. Let God's word reconfigure your brain. When you have those triggers, ignore them. After a while, they will learn, they will stop. You know, it's so funny when you want to fast. The first day is tough. Your body will cry. The brain will send signals. This is suffering. No. We reject it. All systems will go berserk. Your flesh will scream. But just continue. Second day, third day, fourth day. They're sending those triggers. No response. After a while, everything quietens. Do you know that's how to deal with this body? You think you have an addiction? Just ignore those triggers. Keep on ignoring. 30 days, I can assure you. Even before that, because God will help you, before that, you'll be delivered. The Bible says we should renew the mind. We should allow the word of God to reconfigure, to retrain our minds. It's critical because sexual sin will make a mincemeat of you. You can't stand before God to pray. You're not confident. And you know, Satan is a bastard. He's actually a bastard. He will allow you to reach a crescendo and he will now fall you. Even how many people sexual sin has fallen. God help us in Jesus' mighty name. Another P for success is people. The Bible says in Proverbs 13:20, that he who walks with wise men will be wise. A companion of fools will be destroyed. If you walk with the wise, it's a matter of time, you will become wiser. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12 says, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. People are your greatest assets. They can also be your greatest liability. You need discernment. It's mysterious how people can help you and how they can also do otherwise. Do you know God positions people around you? Now, one thing that anointing will do is to connect you to the right people. I'm not kidding you. So connect you to the right people. Do you know God will bring people your way? Destiny helpers, that's what we call them. You have to recognize them and you have to be nice to them. God is bringing people your way. Amen. If you truly need help, the help is in the hands of somebody. Angels will not come and deliver. It is people that God will use to help you. So God will position people your way. And as you see those helpers, you will know them. You will cross paths with your destiny helper, with your spouse. We call him forth. And as he comes forth, he will recognize you and he will be on your case until you say yes in the mighty name of Jesus. The last P of success is power. I call it power. There's a way you call power, not just power. You call power. Science tells us that power is the ability to do all things. The anointing confers upon you divine ability. It confers upon you divine enablement. It's ironic that every time there was a big challenge before David, God organized an anointing service for David. The first time he was going to overcome Goliath, he was anointed the chapter before. The next time he was going to be anointed king over Judah, the southern region, he had to be anointed. The third time he was going to be king over the whole of Israel, he was anointed again. Three times David was anointed. Each time it led to a promotion. That is how God works. God is interested in your destiny. The things you don't used to do easily, you find them cheap. You have potentials within you that the anointing will reach and activate in the mighty name of Jesus. Those potentials buried within, the anointing will go there, activate it. The anointing makes us powerful. Some people call it grace. Some people call it anointing. I just know it's what divine enablement. In other words, when you come to the end of the rope, God takes over. It's God's enablement. It's God's hand being mighty upon you. It's God's hand resting upon your business, resting upon your career, upon your academics. It's God's hand resting upon you. It's God paying you a visit. Somebody is going to host the Holy Spirit like never before going forward. And you will see changes in your life. You know, we are all about results. You don't have to look it. David didn't look it. But the results in David's life told us he's a giant killer. David was a ruddy, fine boy, 17-year-old. He was just a regular boy when he fell Goliath. But we know when we saw his result that this one is a giant killer. Even the women began to sing, oh, Saul slain 1,000. This guy slain tens of thousands. He was a fine young boy, regular, nothing. He wasn't muscular. No. It's okay to be six-pack. But much more be six-pack in the spirit realm too. And God will honor our prayers. He will show us mercy. A new person emerges in the mighty name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening. And make sure you subscribe for more great podcasts.